We begin the current daf, Masechtas Erech and Daf Daled. Begin full lines down at the top of the Yamut, where the Gemara continues in the theme of the previous daf, which we had opened up this Masechta, this parak with Hakol Marichin, which we said that everyone is included in this law of being obligated if he takes an Erech vow of someone's Erech value, which is said in the Torah. And additionally, it said, and who are these people? Kahan, Levim, Yisraelim, they're all included in this halacha. Now, the Gemara also brought other Tanoic texts that also said the same terminology of Hakol, which just like we said in the Mishnah, what's Hakol? Everyone is included. Comes to include something we would not have necessarily known. So we also learned that in the other Tanoic texts. Similarly, in those other Tanoic texts, it also says Kahan Levim Yisrael, which then the Gemara asks, obviously, who else? Those are the three different groups of the Jewish people. Who else would be obligated in these mitzvahs? So the Gemara continues on that theme. It says Hakol Chayav B'Mikra Megillah. Everyone is obligated in the reading of the Megillah on Purim. Kahanim, Levim, Yisraelim, says Gemara Pshita, obvious. Says Gemara Loi Tzricha, it was necessary. Levatal Avaidasim, to stop them from doing their Avaida for the Beis HaMikdash, that they have to do to stop to do the reading of the Megillah. Ukat Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul. Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, he says, Kahanim, Avaidasim, even if the Kahanim are doing their service in the Beis HaMikdash, Levim, Beduchanim, and the Levim, who they go on the platform and they sing, Visoba Mamadim, and the regular Jews, that they have their standing, which they do, and they accompany the karbanis in the Beis HaMikdash, that mevat mavaidasim, they stop their service, abayin l'shmai mikra megillah, and they come to hear the reading of Megillah. That's what we had to say, kam levim Yisrael, that they stop that to do the reading of the Megillah. Now, when we say hakol chayav meziman, that everyone's obligated in the mitzvah of joining together when there's at least three people by Birchas HaMasan to join together in a special bracha, Kaham vim Yisraelim, says Gemara Peshitta, obviously. Says Gemara, lo yitzricha, no, it's necessary, the ka'achli kachim. We're talking about that the kahanim, when they were eating the meal, they were eating karbanis. So Sarsaka, the Chemini Yura thought to say, the Pasuk says, Shemais va'achlu oisim asher kupa behem, Amrachman, the Torah says, that they, the kahanim, will eat that which is from the parts of the karbanis, which will create atonement through the kahanim eating. So therefore, va'kaparahi. So essentially, the kahanim eating is an atonement, which that teaches us the halacha, what's called kahanim oichim, babal meskap, like the Gemara says, yumin daf samaches amadbeis, that the kahanim, through their eating, actually creates an atonement for the person who's bringing the carbon. So I would say that they're not obligated in zimun, kamashmal, and that's the pasuk teaching in the Devarim, v'echalta v'savata, rachman. The Torah says, you eat and you'll be satiated, and then uvirachta, you make the bracha. V'isnu, and they're satiated, the kahanim are what to eat, and therefore they're obligated in berachas hamazon, and therefore they're obligated in the midst of zimun, of coming together when they're making the berachas hamazon. Now, the halacha says, Hakom mitzvah from the Zimun. Everyone could join and into the mitzvah of Zimun. Kahan Levim Yisrael, which tells us if, let's say, one of the three is a Kohen, one's a Levi, one's a Yisrael, they all could come together and make a Birchas HaZimun. Says Gemara Peshitta, obviously, why not? Says Gemara Loi Tzricha, no, it's necessary, because the Ka'achli Kahanim Truma Kachim. The Kohen who's eating at the meal is eating Truma or Kachim. Vizarka chachun, the non-Kohen obviously cannot eat that. He's eating regular chul, unconsecrated food. Salkat that you would have thought to say, since if the non-Kohen would have wanted to eat together with the Kohen what he's eating, he could not have eaten because he can't eat truma kachim. So I would say they can't combine, they're not eating together, and the mitzvah zimun is only eating together. That's what Allah is telling us, that the zar b'hadi kohen l'matzei achol, although the zar cannot join the kohen what he's eating, kohen b'hadi zar matzei achol, the kohen could eat together with the non-kohen what he's eating from the chulin, and therefore they are combining, and therefore they could combine for the mitzvah of zima. Going back to our Mishnah, Hakol Marichin said that everyone is included in the halacha of being obligated when they take an erech vow of someone else. Kahanim levim Yisrael, says the Gemara Peshitta. That's the question that we're asking in all these Tanakh texts, including our Mishnah. Obviously, who else? Amar Rava says, Lo nitzucha ela ben buchri. And all these trichuses are all talking about the Kahanim, and that's why we mentioned all the rest, to include the Kahanim. The saying Hakom Arichin was necessary according to the opinion of ben buchri, which at the end of the discussion we'll see what is Rava referring to. Because it's not, we'll learn the Mishnah Masech Tashkalim that says as follows. Rabbi Yehuda says, Heid ben Buchri b'Yavna. Ben Buchri, which was his name, he testified in Yavna, which is the name of a place, that kol koin sheshoikel, any koin who gives the machtzah shekel on the first of Adar, which is so they can have the new shkalim for the karbanis ready on the next month on the first of Nisan, in a chayte, he's not a sinner by joining the machtzah shekel, as we're going to explain later on, because that could technically be a problem if he's not obligated. And then it's chulin, it's not really part of the obligation of the machzah shekel, and then you're going to be bringing from his monies, karbanis, which are not really karbanis, into the courtyard. So that's what Ben Bukhi says, that no, although initially he's not really obligated, because the pasuk says, kala over al pikudim, whoever went through the counting, they're obligated to give a machta shekel for their counting, and Shevet Levi wasn't counted, which includes the Kahanim. So says Ben Bukhri that although he's giving, he's not considered a sinner. It's not considered a violation of Chulin Dazar. Now, Amar lo Yerbicham Zakab. Yerbicham Zakab said to him, Loike. No, that's not the case. Ella, rather the other way. Kol koin she'ena shekel chayte. A coin that does not give a machta shekel is a sinner. I mean, Ben Bukhri is saying he doesn't have to, but if he does, it's okay, it's not a problem. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says, no, to the contrary. If he doesn't give it to sin, he actually has to give. Now, the Gemara in the beginning, Masech Lashkom, the Gimel Alpha explains, because the Pasuk says, Zeh Yitnu. This they should give. The Gematria, the numerical value of Zeh, which Zion is 7 and He is 5, is 12, the number of the 12 tribes, which all the tribes, including Shevet Levi, is obligated to Mechza Shekel, because they expound when it says, Kol Eir Al Bakudim, doesn't mean whoever was counted, but rather whoever went through the Yamsuf, which includes Shevet Levi too, that they're also obligated to Mechza Shekel. Ella, rather, such a Bechon Mezakai, Shekahan Dersh Mikri Zela Atzman. The reason why the Kahanim make this mistake the way you're saying Ben Bukhri, that they think they're not obligated, is because they expound this following Pasuk for their own personal benefit, which is but inappropriate exposition. Because the Pasuk says, V'yikra V'chol Michas Koyin Kol Tia Loi Siachol. Every flower offering of the Koyin has to be totally burnt in the Mizbeach, unlike a regular Mincha, which only a fistful is burnt but the rest is eaten. His flower offering is totally burnt, Loi Siachol, it's not eaten. So the Kahanim made the following drasha. Since the Omer, the barley offering on the second day of Pesach, and the Shtehal Lechem, which are the two breads that are brought on Shavuos, and the Lechem upon that's brought every single Shabbos, is ours, because all those karbanos, including those flour offerings, are brought from the Trumas Alishka, which is from the Machta Shekel that every single Jew gives. Say the Kahanim, if we're going to be joining and giving Machza Shekel to the chamber, so it's going to come out that the Mechaz Ha'im and the Shtei Lechem Lech upon us from ours, say, hey, Echem Nechalim, how is it that the Halacha is that these things are eaten? But the Pasuk says, our flower offerings, Allah Yisrael cannot be eaten. And therefore they said, obviously we don't give them the Machza Shekel. Now, however, according to us, says Rabbi Yechem Zakkai, we don't expound it the way they say it, because although the Pasuk says, Kol Tia, their flower offering has to be totally burned, that's only when it's a total mincha just from the Kayin. But when it's a mincha of the tzibur, which are what those flower offerings are, you go after the majority, and the majority are not kehanim, and therefore it is eaten. Now the Gemara asks, however, Ben Bukhri Nami, but then the difficulty is, since he says that initially the kehanim are not obligated to bring, like when they expound the pasuk that way, so then actually, if they do bring the machzah shekel, Nami chaytehu, no, why does he say they're not sinners? It should be considered a sinner, because they're kama'ayil chul nazara. Then he's bringing in unconsecrated because he has no rights in the machzah shekel, and he's now they're using from his money, which is not kachim, because he's not part of that, and he's bringing chul into the courtyard. So why is he not considered a sinner, according to Ben Bukhri? Says Gemara, because the maestil who muscle a tzibur, because he brings it and he gives it over wholeheartedly to the tzibur, and you're right, it's not considered his own, because his own would be considered chulin, but he gives it over, although he's not obligated, he makes it part, it's like a donation that's coming from the Jewish people. Now, so therefore, as we see from this discussion, that according to Ben Bukhri, where he says that the Kahanim are really exempt from the halacha of the machzah shekel of the shkalim, that's whom, according to our Mishnah, had to say, HaKol Marichim, to include Kehanim, to say that if a Kohen takes the Erech value of himself or of someone else, he has to give the Erech value like a regular Jewish person. Why do you have to say this? So that's what Rabbi continues, because Sogat Ed Chimin Yura thought to say, HaYolik Siv, since the Pasuk says, Meyikra, V'chol Erkecha Yi B'Shekel HaKodesh, when it talks about the laws of Erechin, it says, all your Erechin should be in the holy shekel, where we see it's equating it to the Shkolim. Which tells us, Kol di isi b'shkolim isi b'erichin. Whoever's in the halach of giving shkolim to the Beis Hamikdash of the Machzah Shekel, he's included in the halach of erichin. But v'hanik kahanim hoil v'lesnim b'shkolim. But since the kahanim, as we just pointed out, according to Ben Bukhri, they're not in the midst of giving shkolim to the Beis Hamikdash of lesnim b'erichin, we would say they don't have the halach of erichin either to be obligated in the erichin vow. K'mash b'lam, that's what the Mishnah is coming to tell us, that we don't make such a teaching, and therefore kahanim are included in the halach of marichin. However, in this interpretation, Amalei Abaye said to him, wait, hai v'kol erkecha, this pasuk that you're bringing from v'kol erkecha, it's not extra to learn how to compare it to the shkolim. L'kol erichin sh'ata mayrich, it's coming to teach us that whatever erichin vow you make, lo yi p'chusin misel hudas, it's coming to tell us that, but the obligation cannot be less than a sela. Which, although there is no erich vow that's so low like a sela, however, that Pasuk of V'chol Erkecha has come to teach us regarding a poor person that took an Erech vow. So Halacha is going to shortly elaborate, it's called Hesig Yad. which, like the pasuk says, the miyikach of zayin al piyasha tasek yada neider. If let's say he can't afford the erech that he took, so we prorate it. We do it according on the sliding scale, according to how much he could afford. But however, the halacha tells us he can't give less than a seller. As the Gemara says later on, the second parak of Zayim Abayis, that in Erechin, you're not giving less than a seller. And the reasoning for that halach is brought from this pasuk, where we see in the pasuk that it says, shekel, ivachol erkecha, that a seller, a shekel, cannot be less for the amount of the Erechin. So therefore, Abaya asks, since the pasuk is coming to teach us that halacha, that the Erech is not less than a shekel, so you would not have thought to use the pasuk to expound, to compare the laws of Erechin from the laws of Shkalim, which then we would have exempted the coin from Erechin to say that the Mishnah is coming to say that it's chayiv. So we're back to the question. We don't really need the Mishnah to tell us that kama chayiv. Of course, why would we think not? Oh, because we compare Erechin to Shkalim? No, that's not what the pasuk is coming to say. The pasuk is coming to say regarding an only of Hesek Yad, that his obligation of Erechin is not less than the Shekel HaKodesh, than the Sela. So Elam Abayi, rather, he gives a different interpretation. He says, Itzrich, no, we needed the Mishnah to tell us that the Kahanim are going to be obligated in the laws of Erechin. Why? Salkadach, I mean, you would have thought to say, Herlixim, there's a pasuk in the Midbar that talks about the mitzvah Pinya Ben. It says, Ufuduyev mi ben Chodesh tifte be'erkecha. And his redemption, when he's 1 month old, you redeem according to the value. Now, so it says the terminology of Erechin in the halacha pinya ben. So called the isa pinya ben, isa be'erechin. So we would have said that whoever has the obligation of redeeming his firstborn son has the obligation of an Erechin vow. V'hani kahanim ha'ilvelesna b'pinya ben. But these kahanim, since they're not obligated in the mitzvah pinya ben, which as the Gemara says in the first parak in Becheres, Avdal Medalv, that they're exempted from kavah chaymer. Because if in the midbar they exempted the firstborns of the non-kahanim, so for sure their own firstborns they're exempting, and therefore they're not obligated in pinya ben. So less than the Erechins, I would say they're not obligated in the Erechin vow. That's what the Mishnah has to tell us, that no, that the Kahanim are obligated in the Erechin vow. However, Amli Rava. Rava asked on Abaya. Elamiyat, but if that's the case, then Gabi El Ashram. When someone does certain types of sins, he has to bring a carbon Ashram, a guilt offering, as a ram. The pasuk says in Yikra, says, V'esashama yovil Hashem, and his guilt offering he'll bring to Hashem, Ayel Tamim min Atzayin, an unblemished ram from the category of sheep, Be'erkecha, according to your value. Now, it says Erechin over here regarding the El Ashim, of the ram of the Ashim. So, Hachin Namid Chol Isa Be'erechin, Isa Be'el Ashim. So, you're going to say here also that, oh, whoever is in the halach of Erechin is included in the halach of bringing a ram of Ashim. So then, Tum De Madregin is, and then regarding someone that the gender either is, don't see any sign of the gender, or both signs of the genders, to Lesna Be'erechin, which as we said in our Mishnah, they're not in the halach of Erechin. So, Lesna Be'el Ashim, you can tell me that they're not in the halach of bringing the ram of the Ashim, but they're regular full-fledged Jews. Of course, if they do a certain sin, they have to bring a carbon Ashim. Rather, says Rava, obviously you're not going to expound like this, and therefore back to the questions. And then why do you need the Mishnah to say Kahan Levi Mr. Elam if you would not have known that you would have thought that Kahanim are not obligated from comparing Erechin to the halacha of Pinya Ben, because you see from this other halacha of El Ashim that you don't make such a hekesh. So Elam Rava, rather Rava says, Bitem Sensei is Ravashi, that Itzrich, it was necessary for the Mishnah to tell us. So good, I mean, you would have thought to say, that is, regarding a poor person who took the evaluation of Erech Vav himself or someone else, so the puzzle says you stand in front of the kain to say, okay, how much could you afford? But one thing we see is that you stand him in front of the kain, but you don't put a kain in front of the kain. So therefore, the kain is not, we would think, is not included in the halacha of Erechin. Why? Because if he'd be a poor person, we wouldn't be able to apply, you stand in front of the kain, because he himself is the kain. Kamash Shalom, that's what the Mishnah has to tell us, that no, that even so, the kain is going to be chayiv in the general halacha of taking the Erechin vow. Now, the Gemara continues, we said in the Mishnah, Nerachim, that everyone is Ma'arichin, and everyone's Nerachim, which the Gemara previously said, when it says Hakol, it's going on all the terminologies of the Mishnah. Not just the word that it says right near it, Hakol Ma'arichin, but it goes on Nerachin, it goes on Nedrin, it goes on Nidarin. So the Gemara said, what is Hakol Nerachin, that everyone could be the subject of an Erechim Vow come to include? Comes to include someone that's disgusting, or is full of boils, where although he doesn't have a monetary value, in regards to selling him as a slave, but regarding Erechim value, he does have, and one has to give, like the Torah points out, regarding his age, of giving that Erech value when you take an Erech on the Mnuv Mekeshchem. Says Gemara, where do we know this from? Because the time of the Brice, the Pasuk says, Be'yikr, it says, Be'erkecha, according to your Erech value, is Lehivi Erech Sosamor, the Gir says, Stam, which is even the unspecified Erech is going to be an obligation, which the Gemara is going to explain it, and the whole Braisa the Gemara is going to explain. And this is one drasha, not the drasha that we're looking for, but this is the beginning of the Braisa. When it says be'erkecha, that you're taking an erich vow, even if you take an unspecified erich vow, one's going to be obligated. Davacha, another interpretation that you see from the word be'erkecha, your value, is erich kula hu naisen. You give an erich value of the whole person. But you don't take an erich vow of just a person's limb. So let's say someone says that the erich value of my hand is upon me. He hasn't said anything because there's no erich for limbs. But if he says, for example, the damim of my arm is on me, which is the monetary value, not the erich value, then they would have to give the monetary value. But erichin is only on the whole person. Now, continues the braisa. So I would think I would also exclude, even if it's a limb that the whole soul, the whole person depends on. Like if he says, the value of my head or of my liver is on me, that would also be exempted from the erich obligation. No, that's what the pasuk says, that for regarding an erich nefashis of souls, which the Torah makes it dependent on the nefesh. So if he takes the erich value of even just one limb, but the whole soul depends on it, meaning a person dies if that limb is not there, then he does have to give the erich of the entire person. Additionally, when it says nefashis, souls, tells us v'lo hames, but not a dead person, where if he says, I want to take the erich value of that dead person on me, he hasn't said anything, has to be a nefesh, a living creature. And additionally, says the braisa, okay, so itzias hames. So from nefashis, I would have just excluded a dead person. But I would not have excluded someone in the throes of death, where he's about to die, but he's not dead yet. I would think that there would be an erich obligation on such a person. Tamalem, as the pasuk teaches, the hemed, that you stand him up, the herich, and you evaluate him. Now, although in actuality, this pasuk is actually talking about the one who takes the erich vow, not the subject of the erich vow, because this pasuk is talking about the halach of hesed yad, by the poor person who was seeing how much money he could afford. But in spite of that, generally, a person who takes the erich vow is on himself, so it could also teach us regarding the subject itself, which teaches us, kol sheyeshni b'hamada, whoever could stand, yeshni b'haracha, is then including halach of erichim. But v'chol she'eini b'hamada, eini b'haracha, but a geisus who can't stand, therefore is not going to be the subject of the erichim value either. Davachar, another interpretation we find from the pasuk, it says nefashis. Why does it say nefashis, souls? Because if it didn't say nefashis, but rather it would say nefesh, in the singular, so I would have said, I would only know that the obligation is when someone takes the erich vow of one person. Like the pasuk says, ish kiafli nedu be'erkecha, which is, sounds like the singular, one person taking the erich vow of one person. Echad sheherich me'eminayin. How would I know if one person is taking the erich vow of 100 people that he would be obligated in all 100? Tamalem nefashis, that says in the plural, souls. Davach, another interpretation, nefashis, why does it say? Because had it said only nefesh, then I would say as a continue to medeis, ainly eli ish herich bein ish bein isha. I would only know a man that takes the erich vow, whether of a man or of a woman, because the pasuk says in Mikach of Zayin, ish kiyafli be'erkecha nefashis, which sounds like a man that takes an erich of nefesh, whatever it is, whether man or woman, he's obligated. But isha shericha ish, but if a woman's taking an erich vow on a man, or isha shericha isha, a woman taking a vow, erich vow on a woman, minayin, how would we know that a woman's also obligated? Tamalem nefashis, that's what says souls, which the way we're understanding it when it says be'erkecha nefashis, is that any type of nefesh could go ahead and take be'erkecha, go ahead and take an erich vow. Another interpretation from the word nefashis, souls, is l'rabbis menuvel mukeshchin, comes to include that even a menuvel mukeshchin is going to be included no matter what type of nefesh is going to be obligated, is going to be the subject of an erich vow. Now, because shayachal, you would think that actually it wouldn't apply. Because the pasuk says, neder be'erkecha, your vow of your erichim. Now, which that's comparing monetary value, which is nedarim, to erichim, which would tell us, kosh yeshna bedam, whoever is the subject of a monetary vow, yeshna be'erichim is regarded as the subject of an erich vow. But v'chal she'in bedamim, in be'erichim, whoever is not regarding the subject of a monetary vow, which menuv makashchin, they wouldn't be worth anything in the marketplace because it's full of boils. So I would say he ain't be'erichim would not be the subject of an erichim vow. Tamalem nefashah, that's the pasuk says, be'erichim nefashah, whatever erichim you take of any type of nefesh, as long as it's a living soul, then he's going to be the subject of the Torah's categories of the erichim vow. Now the next pasuk says, v'hoye erichim, and your erichim is going to be. Now this word v'hoye, Erkecha is l'rabbis tumta madreganis l'dam. Comes to tell us to include that the tumta madreganis, that they are actually, they could be the subject of a monetary vow. Because they have value when they're sold in the marketplace. But actually, shayachal, you would think actually that they would not be the subject of a neder vow, of a monetary vow. Because the pasuk says neder b'erkecha, like we pointed out, there's a comparison between erich and damim. So I would say now they're teaching in the reverse. Kol she'eshnu be'erichin yeshnu be'dam. Whoever is in the subject of erichin vow is the subject of a monetary vow. V'chol she'enu be'erichin, whoever is not the subject of erichin vow, like tumtum and nedregin is, because the pasuk says ha'zachar, the male, which tells us only definitive male or definitive female. But tumtum and nedregin is, which is not definitive either way, that is not the subject of erichin vow, she'enu be'dam. I would say not the subject of a monetary vow. Tamalemes, but it teaches v'hoya erkecha, that it should be for you the value, your value of erichin, which is inclusionary terminology, including the tumtum and nedregin is. Now, however, as we said, but the pasuk says v'hayerkecha ha-zachar, the male, which is zachar, but it has to be a definitive male, v'lo tum devadreginus, but not someone that we don't see any gender or we see both genders. Now, but then the braisa continues, yochel lo yu be'erichesh. Okay, so you would think, fine, they're not included in the zachar, they don't have the erich evaluation of a male. Al yu be'erichesha, but they'll get the lower erich value, that of a woman. That's the pasuk teaches when it says v'hoye erkech ha'zachar, your erichin should be of the male, and then the pasuk continues v'im nekevi, and if she's a female, which compares and says this zachar vada in the keva vatois, just like it has to be definitive male, has to be definitively a female, v'leitum de madragnes, and therefore we exclude tum de madragnes from having any erichin vow whatsoever. But again, they do have that of damim, and the reverse is also true by mendov mukashchin, although they don't have damim, but and we would have thought nedib erkecha they wouldn't have, but that's what we say, that no, but they are the subject of an erichin vow, from that we know from the Fashis. Now the Gemara goes through detail to explain the teachings of this brice. Amamar, the time of the brice is started off by saying be'erkecha, l'rab is erich sas, to include the unspecified erichin. Where if let's say someone didn't say my erich is on me, or that person's erich is on me, rather just says harelai erich, I have to give erich. I have to give erichin. Now, so and that's the pasuk coming to include that he's going to be obligated. Says Gemara, my erich sasim. So what is the unspecified erich? The time like learn the brisa. Ha'im erich sasim alive. Someone says the unspecified erichin is on me. Noisin kepachesh erichin. So he has to give the least amount of what the Torah gives for a category of the obligation of erichin. And says the brisa, v'kama pachesh erichin. How much the least amount of an erichin vow? Ishleish shkalim. As the pasuk says regarding a female, the youngest one gives 3 shkalim. That's the least amount of erichin. That's how much the person who takes the unspecified has to give, which that's included from the word be'erkecha. Says the Gemara, b'dayim chamishim. Maybe say you have to give the most amount. Maybe say you have to give 50 shkalim. Says the Gemara, no. Tafasta meruba le tafasta. When you're grabbing a lot, you haven't really grabbed, because then you could ask, how do you know? Maybe grab the least. Maybe you should give only 3. But tafasta mu'a tafasta. But if you grab the least, you're still grabbing. Because if someone asks, wait, why taking the least? Maybe take the most. He's not disagreeing with what you did. He's just saying you should add on more. Because in the more is the least. And therefore what you're doing will have validity according to all. So therefore you take the least, which is the 3 shkal. Says Gemara, but then vema shekel. Maybe say it's less than 3 shkal. Maybe say you should only have to give 1 shekel. Because the chesiv, the pasuk says, v'chol erkecha yiyeh b'shekel ha'kodesh, all your erkin value should be with the holy shkalim, which that teaches us that the lowest amount you could give is a shekel. Says Gemara, no, b'ahu behesig yadu, the chesiv. That pasuk is only by a poor person, where the pasuk says, u'mach me'erkecha, that he can't afford the erkin vow that he took upon himself. So the pasuk tells us that the kohen should not go ahead and evaluate him with less than a shekel. But that's only when you can't afford. But a set amount of an absolute erichin, that's not less than 3 shkalim. And therefore, if someone took an erich, if he could afford it, he's going to have to definitely give 3 shkalim. But then the Gemara asks, but ve'el across, then the pasuk of be'erkecha lamali. Then what do I actually need it for? Why would I need it? You're saying it's coming to include erich sasim, that you only give 3 shkalim. But the Gemara's question is, without a pasuk, I would have known that too. Because obviously, you can't exempt him without giving anything. And less than that, you can't give, because there's no set amount of erichin less than that. And we said, you don't have to give him more, because tefasta merubla tefasta. So why do you need a pasuk for that? That we already know from our own logic. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Barvua, no, you need the pasuk, loimit to say, she'ena nidin behesag yad. That actually to say that the halacha of hesag yad does not apply to him. Which even if, let's say, the person who took that erich sasim can't afford the 3 shkalim, he has to give the 3 shkalim. We're not going to let him give just a shekel like we do for a regular poor person. My time, what's the reason? Why do we have this stringency? Because kimefarish dummy. It's like he was explicit. Because since he said the unspecified erichin is on me, now he knows that, anyone who knows how to read Chumash knows that the erichin is not less than 3 shkalim, because that's the least amount of an erichin. So it's like he explicitly said, I want to take upon myself to give a money of 3 shkalim to the Beis HaMikdash. And that's not the same when a person generally says, oh, my erich is on me, or that person's erich is on me. Where there, it's not so obvious, because not everyone knows how old a person is to say that he has to give, and therefore, since it's not so explicit, if he can't afford it, we're going to make him only have to give a shekel. But here, it's explicit, it's revealed, because he didn't make a contingent on any single person. He said, I want to give Erech, which he knows the least amount, which is 3 shekalim, so he has to give 3 shekalim, even if he can't afford it, we're not going to let him give less than that, all the way down to a shekel. That's one version. Igadami, those who say that actually Amar Nachum Amar Rabba Barvua, he says the reason why you need the pasig to say that actually that it's going to be called Erechin, to say that it has halacha like all other Erechin. To say that actually that need the Mesiyak, to say that he does have this halacha like a regular Erechin, that he doesn't have to give the exact amount that he took if he can't afford it, that he could give all the way down up until a shekel. Toshigama says, Pshita. Well, obviously, why would it be different than other Erechin when you can't afford it, you can give down to a shekel? Which this version says, Mao the Tema Kamen Farashta, I mean, you would think that no, it's like he was explicit saying that I want to give 3 shekalim, Kamashalam, that's what the Pasuk has to tell us, that no, Be'erkecha, like he's like a regular Erechin, where if he can't afford it, he could give all the way down to a shekel. Now the Baisa continued, it says, Daba'ach, another interpretation, in Be'erkecha, your Erechin is Erech Kula Hayneisen. You only give an Erechin of the entirety of a person. But Ve'ena Neisen Erech Demeivam, you don't give an Erech value of just the limb of a person. Now the Gemara wonders, but v'afikte le'erich stam, you already use be'erkecha to say when you take an unspecified erichin that, again, whether there is hesegyad or not hesegyad, but how could you use the same word to make another drasha to say that there's no erichin on limbs? Says the Gemara, karbi erich be'erkecha. The pasuk could have said the word erich, and then we would have learned that from the halacha of the unspecified erich. From the fact that it says erkecha comes to make another drasha to say your erichin of the whole you, not of parts of you, that the erichin does not apply to limbs. Now the Brisa continued, it says, okay, so the fact that we're excluding limbs, I would think I would exclude from the Lach of Erechin even a limb that the whole body, the whole soul depends on. Tamalam Nefasha, that says no, it's an Erech of Nefashas, of souls, that if it's a limb like the head or something that's integral like the liver, that then actually if you take the Erech of that limb, it's the whole soul is dependent on it, one would be Chayiv in the Erechin of that person. Additionally, the Brisa said, we learn that when it says nefashis, the souls, is v'loy asames. It has to be a living person, not a dead person. So the Gemara said, but va'fixe, but you already use nefashis to tell you that you're obligated on a limb that the whole body depends on. How can you use it to say to exclude a dead person? So says the Gemara, here too, kari be nefesh nefashis. It could have said nefesh and said it said nefashis. So we learn that 2 things. One is to exclude a dead person, and one is to say that if it's a limb the whole body depends on, it will be chayav in the laws of Erechim. So the Baisa continues. So fine, Oitzias Ames, Velo Oitzias Agoises. So I would have excluded from the Fashas a dead person. But I wouldn't exclude Agoises, who's in the throes of death. I would say that you're actually still obligated in the laws of Erechon of such a person. Tamalam, that's supposed to teach us Vehemet Veherech. You stand them up and you evaluate them. Only someone that could stand, but a person that is in the throes of death, who's dying, who can't stand, doesn't have the Allah of Erechon. So the Gemara says, well, Ihach, if you have this Pasig, so Mes Nami typically Mevehemet Veherech. Why do you need the Fashas to exclude a dead person? You're excluding even the geises from that he can't stand, so a dead person who most definitely cannot stand should be learned out from the hem of Herich. Why do you need to learn out from the nefashas? Says Gemara Hachinam, you're right. So then Ve'el Nefesh Nefashas Lamali. So what do I do with the extra nefashas? We said it could have said Nefesh, it says nefashas. So okay, from one of them we learn out to say, but that somebody that Shan Neshamat Luyiboy will be included in the laws Erechin. But what does the extra nefashas come to teach? So the Gemara, could it be Lemeim Lekaman, like we're going to want to say later on, that it's including Menuvel Mukishchin, that he is included in this halacha. Now, Dava Acher, another interpretation the Braisa says, says in the Pasuk Nefashis. Now, because Ainli Eila Echad Sheherich Echad, I would only know if one person is taking Erech value of one other person. Echad Sheherich Meimenayin, how would I know if one person taking Erechin of 100 people that is obligated, and all those other 100 people's Erechin, Tamalem Nefashis, it says souls, which is saying that even if you take many, you're chayiv in all the erichim. Tavach, another interpretation, says nefash is souls, because ainli eli ish sheherich. I would only know if a man's taking an erichim vow, bein isha, whether of a man or a woman, but isha shericha ish, v'isha shericha isha minayim, but if a woman's taking erichim of a man or a woman, how would I know that she's obligated? Tamalem nefash, that's what it says, souls, that whoever's taking the erichim is obligated. Tavach, another interpretation, says nefash is souls, why? Lahavi menuvel mukeshchin, to include even though menuvel mukeshchin has no damim, but we say from souls, when you take an erichin, no matter who the person is, if he has a soul, then he's including the laws of being a subject of erichin vow. Now the Gemara wonders, but v'fixi lahanach, but how can you use nefashas to include menuvel mukeshchin? You're already using it for one person taking a vow of erichin vow of 100 people, or for a woman taking erichin vow. How could you say nefashas teaching menuvel mukeshchin? Says the Gemara, no hanach li tzrichi kra. All those other ones actually don't need a special pasuk. My time, what's the reason? Kishakalhu, because they're equivalent, they're all equal. All those drushes are equal to be learned out from the pasuk, and there's no stringency one over the other to say, oh, that's the one that's more logical. Oh, that's the one that's more logical to learn out from the pasuk. Meaning, if the pasuk would have just said nefesh, not nefashas, we would have learned that all those teachings, whether regarding that we're saying that if it's a type of a limb that the whole soul depends on, that you're going to be obligated, whether one person takes a vow of 100 people, whether a woman who takes an erichim vow, because the word nefesh includes a woman. The word nefesh also includes many people, like the pasuk b'midbar lamed aleph, the nefesh adam and anashim, where shisha asa elef, which you see, although it used nefesh, it was referring to many people. And therefore, from one time saying the word nefesh, we would not, although generally you can't learn out three drushas from one word, we would have learned that all these different teachings, because they're all equivalent, they're all understood from the same word nefesh to include all these different things. And we would not have been able to say that, oh, this one makes more sense than the other one to exclude the other ones. And therefore, we actually would have learned them all out from that word nefesh, because they would all be equally included. And therefore, they would all be included from the word nefesh. So therefore, ki itzuch kras, so when did we need the pasuk, meaning of the plurality of nefashes? That was the manuva, the mukeshchinu, the itzuch is coming to tell us that even though that they don't have a damim, but however, that we're not going to exclude him from neder be'erichin, to compare the erichin to the neder, that he will be the subject of an erichin vow, even though he's full of boils and he's a repulsive person. Now the Braisa continued and said, when it says in the next pasuk, v'hoye erichucha, and the erichin value should be, that's l'rabbis tumtavan dragonis l'dam. That's including those which their gender is not clear to be the subject of a neder, of a monetary vow. Because although this pasuk tumtavan erichin, not damim, but this is what's known as im'ina inyan. If it's not teaching us anything regarding erichin, because we said that tumtavan dragonis is not the subject of an erichin vow, because we said hazachar says it has to be definitively a male or a female, so we're going to apply it to a damim vow, a monetary vow, that they are the subject of a monetary vow. It says the Gemara, dam lom likra. Why do you need a pasuk to teach regarding a monetary vow? Lo yehe ela demei dikla. A tumna madregnis shouldn't be less than the monetary value of a tree. Because ilo ama demei dikla. If someone says, it's upon me to give the monetary value of this tree to Hekdash. Milo yav, wouldn't he have to give? So how could tumna madregnis be less than a tree, even though he's not the subject of erichin vow? So to a tree is not. And still, if you take the monetary value, you have to give it to Hekdash. So Amarav, he says, you're right. Of course, we would know that they're the subject of a monetary vow. But it's lamer to say, shenidin bechvaydei. Come to teach us that he's evaluated according to that limb, that the whole dignity, meaning the whole life of the person depends on that limb. Where if let's say he says that the value of my head is on me, then he has to give the entire monetary value of that person. Because Sagadatakman, you would have thought to say, Neder be'erkachaksiv, the pasuk says, the neder of your erichim, which compares, as we said before, so that we're comparing this halacha of neder to erichim. So I would have said as follows, Kol sheyeshne be'erichin, whoever is in the laws of erichin, is going to be nidin bechvoide, is going to be evaluated according to his dignity, meaning, even if he only says, Demei reishyalai, the value of my head is on me, but still, he's going to have the obligation of giving the whole person's value. But v'chol she'in be'erichin, but whoever is not in the laws of erichin, when he says demei reishi alai, I would say einan idin bechvaydei. Then he's not going to get evaluated according to the whole person, because this drasha that tells us that if the person's soul depends on it, then you have to give the whole value, that is learned from the word nefashis, which tells us davash neshama t'luyah boy. That halacha said by the laws of erichin. So therefore, when you're taking a monetary vow of, let's say, even the head or the liver, to say that you're going to have to give the whole value, I would say it's only by someone that you could learn out the source of that halacha, which is by erichin. But the tumah dregis are not the subject of erichin vow. Therefore, I would say that he's not nidin bechvayde. So that says the Bacher adds on the words kamash mala. That's what the halacha is coming to teach us when with this idea that v'haya erkecha, that tumah dregis will be nidin bechvayde regarding a monetary vow. However, Amalei Abaya asks on him and he says, well, if that's the case, comes out that you're saying, udolayisa be'erichin, that someone who's not the subject of erichin vow, meaning like a tumah dregis. You're saying, he's asking on this premise. He's saying, could you say that actually such a subject could be evaluated according to the dignity, meaning according to that the importance of that limb, that it's the you have to give the entirety of that whole subject? But Vatan, you learn the Bryce that says as follows. Reish Evet Zeh Hekdesh, if someone says the head of this slave is Hekdesh, goes to the Beis HaMikdash. So who Hekdesh, him and Hekdesh are partners, now they're equal partners in this slave. Let's say says Reish Ebed Machulach. Let's say tells a regular person, not Hektish, the head of this slave assaulted you. So Misham the Benain. So they evaluate between the two of themselves how much is the slave worth, and they split the value of that slave between each other. Rish Rashi wonders that why by Hektish do we say the terminology that they're shutfen, that they're partners, in contrast by the sale, we say that misham the benim, a different terminology that we evaluate between them and we split it. The reason is, says the Shutim Mekubetzas, Noisid Beis, is because Mishamnin, when you say you're evaluating, you could say that we're evaluating the work. And the measurement of what's indebted to one will be working for one, and then you split it, but both of them could utilize it. In contrast, by Hektish, the reason why we can't say Mishamnin Beinim is because the commoner cannot use the Eved or the slave, the what's half and half at all, because that would be Me'ilah, it would be misappropriating, he'd be utilizing the half of Hektish. But they do have a partnership in the sense of that when they sell it, then they split the monies, or that one could force the other one to sell it. Therefore, it uses a different terminology, but the same idea that they're 50-50 partners in the slave. Similarly, Reish Chamor is a Hektish. Someone says the head of this donkey is Hektish. So who Hektish Shutfen? By him and Hektish are partners now in this donkey. Reish Chamor Machalach, if he says to a regular person, the head of the donkey sold to you. So Misham, then again, they're partners in this donkey. Now, in contrast to a slave and a donkey that we just mentioned, let's say he says, Reish Par Machalach. Let's say he says to the person, I'm selling the head of the cow to you. Or, so the other halach is, Le Mocha El Reish Shal Par, they're not 50-50 partners. He actually only sold him the head of the cow. And Veloid, not only that, Ela for the Reish Par Hektish, same thing would apply to Hektish. If he says the head of the cow is Hektish, Ein Le Hektish El Reish, Hektish only has the head. Now, Vamar Papa, he said, what's the reason why by a cow you say that only the head is sanctified? In contrast to the other things, he said, okay, they're partners now. The reason is because the Mizdabin Reisha Detuba paid Tabacha, because the head of a cow is sold by itself independently in the butcher house. But the head of a slave and the head of a donkey, it's not the norm to sell just the head of that, and therefore, obviously, he's selling it for 50-50, and half of it is sanctified and half of it is sold. Now, says the Gemara as follows, V'chamar upara lesnu be'erichim. Erechin only applies to a human being. Doesn't apply to a cow and to a donkey. And yet, we see that because they're not an Erechin, therefore they do not get evaluated according to something that the neshama would be talibah, which the head is that thing. And therefore we say, who the heck is by? And that we don't say, wait a second, you makdish something that the whole body is talibah. That's the halacha of nidin bechvaydeh. So you said just before that even if we have something that's not nerachin, but when you go and regard a monetary value, like the Tumta Madreganist said then, we're going to be needing bechvaydoi, and okay, you're being makdish the head. That's obviously the whole thing. It's you have to give the whole value of that person. But here we see clearly not. Here we see that when you have something that's not nerachin, that then you're not needing bechvaydoi, and that you're not going to give the whole value to Hektish, even though it's davash on the shamat loyaboy. So that contradicts your premise. To which he responds back, well, Tamech, but according to your reasoning, Tikshalach Evid. So don't just pick those two cases. What's with the third case that's discussed? The case in the Brisa of the slave. The Yisab Erechin, there everyone agrees that the halach of Erechin apply to a slave like we learned in our Mishnah, and yet still the Brisa said by the case of Evid too, that, okay, when he's Makdish, the head of the slave, him and Hektish are partners in it. What do you mean? Why is it ve'ein nidin bechvaydeh? Why are you saying that they're not going to have to give the whole slave to Hektish? But that's clearly something that is in Erechin, and then the same premise should hold true. So if it's Isabechin, should be nidin bechvaydeh. So Ella, rather like Kash, it's not a difficulty on either one of our opinions, because there's a fundamental difference. Ha, this Bryce is bekachi mizbech. This last Bryce is talking about when he says the head of the donkey or the head of the slave, I'm being makdish for its monetary value to be brought as a carbon ayla. There, you're not being done at bechvaydeh. You're not going to say that you have to give the whole value to Hektish for a carbon, because when the pasuk nefashis is written in the context, as we said before, the parsha of Erechin. Erechin is kedusha of bedek abayis, of only monetary value. That's where we apply the halach of nidin bechvaydeh. Whereas, ha, this that we said that it's the tumdim adreganis, when it's just the head, it's going to be nidin bechvaydeh, even though it's someone that's not in the parsha of Erechin, that's when you make the vow of its money's bekache bedek abayis. Regarding that of bedek abayis, that we would say, yeah, regarding the reish of the eved, and even the reish of the parah and the reish chamar, we would say that if you made an eder, and you made it to Hektish, that if it's something devashan shamat tuli, but even though it's not something that's nidin be'erichin, it would be nidin bechvaydeh. And just like Tumtum, like we said, it's just that this Bryce was talking about Kedusha's Mizbeach, That we never said the halacha of the Yidim Mechvaydin. Therefore, you're right. You're just going to be partners with Hektish when you makdish the Chamor. And even the case of Eved, which is Nidim, which has the halacha of Erechin, still, since it's for Kedushin Mizbech, we would only say that the head is being given me as like a 50-50 partnership, not actually the head like the cow, because of how a cow's head is, but it means to say we're partners, but it wouldn't be totally for Hektish, even though it's a Dabba, Shana Shamat Lo Yibay.